师傅啊。Most of us are familiar with this text. Actually, we have Jesus at Jacob's well. He's talking to the woman of Samaria, sharing with her his perspective on worship. I want to go back up to verse number 19. The woman said unto him, Sir, we perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to share the subject this morning, New Testament worship. New Testament worship. I personally believe that the first act of a Christian is to worship. I believe that Christians ought to go and win souls. But I also believe that we ought to worship God in spirit and in truth. And when I think about this woman down at Jacob's well, this woman claimed Jacob as her father. That is, she was in his ancestral line or lineage, if you please. This woman knew that Jacob had given a well, and these people were excited because they were a part of Jacob's heritage. But what we need to keep in mind that at some point in time, the Jews had wandered away from God, many of them. They had intermingled with other nations. They had become what we call half-breed people. The Samaritans, of course, were a part of Israel or Jacob through the mingling of the nations. And yet when Jesus came on the scene, Jesus shares with this woman that worship salvation rather is of the Jews. For God had placed salvation among the people of God. And people need to understand tonight that salvation is still among the people of God. God has placed salvation among his people. But the people of God must worship God as God dictates them to worship him. I'm going to talk about this New Testament worship, because I believe that all of us need to understand here today that when we talk about New Testament worship, we are talking about that which God has authorized. First of all, when you look at this word new, it comes from this Greek word akanos. And this word simply means, first of all, to be fresh. This word has to do with that which is in respect of age. What we are going to see in this text and in this lesson is, when it comes down to New Testament Christianity, we are under a different age than the age that the Jews were under. You need to understand that God had, in time past, given what is known as the patriarchal age. You see, the patriarchal age had to do with men that we call of the patriarchs. And these men called the patriarchs, what you have is this. You have actually three words in one word. You have this word patria. This word patria means family. You have this word apata. This word means father. You have this word arche. This word means rule. So when you put all of this together, God deals with the ruler of the family. God deals with the head of the family. Under the patriarchal age, keep this in mind. Under the patriarchal age, God dealt with the men, the heads of the families. This period of time lasted for some 2,500 years. It lasted from Adam all the way down to Moses. You can read that in Romans, the chapter is 5, verses 13 and 14. But then after the patriarchal age, God called a man named Moses. Moses went up into the Mount of Horeb, and God gave him the commandments. And Moses came down and shared the word of God with the people. Now the Mosaic age or period of time lasted for some 1500 years. It lasted from Moses all the way down to Christ Jesus. When you look at John chapter 1 and verse 17, I want you to go there because I'm going to deal with New Testament worship. But in order for you to see New Testament worship, you must first of all see New Testament Christianity. Did you catch what I just said? In order for you to see New Testament worship, you must first of all see New Testament Christianity. Because Christianity started with Christ. The Mosaic started with Moses. The patriarchal started with Adam. So God removed the patriarchal Adam all the way down to the Mosaic Moses. And in John chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says,
For the law was given by Moses.
But
grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
God replaced the Mosaic law with Christ and New Testament Christianity. Go to Hebrews, the chapter is 2, beginning with verse number 1. I need to show you that this thing started with Christ. I'm talking about New Testament Christianity started with Christ. The Bible says,
Therefore, we ought to give
the more earnest heed
to the things which we have heard.
Lest at any time
we should let them slip.
For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast,
and every transgression and disobedience
received a just recompense of reward.
How shall
how
we escape?
Shall we escape?
If we neglect
so great salvation,
which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord,
and was confirmed
unto us
by them that heard him. Now the Hebrew writer said it was first spoken by
the Lord.
The Lord. Now all of the prophets had something to say. But I want you to know that this thing actually started with the Lord. Many of the prophets in Old Testament time, they talked about a house. They talked about a kingdom. They talked about a government. They talked about God's power and authority. But it was when Jesus came that he had them to understand what that was all about. They heard about the kingdom, but they didn't know what it was. As a matter of fact, Jesus showed the kingdom as the church in Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee
the keys
of the kingdom of heaven,
and whatsoever
thou shalt bind on earth
shall
be bound in heaven,
and
whatsoever
thou
shalt loose on earth
shall
be loosed in heaven. Isn't that right? Well, what the Lord told us in this text, this kingdom that the prophets had been talking about is the church that I will build. They didn't know what the kingdom was until Jesus first spoke it. Am I correct about it? So this thing was first spoken by the Lord and was confirmed, the Hebrew writer said, unto us by them that heard him. In other words, the apostles heard him. And this thing was confirmed because they heard him. He taught it unto them, and they taught it unto others. Now when I look at this word, testament, is pronounced like this. First of all, you have D, and that tells me, when I look at this thing, diaketes, and diaketes simply means to us, God has a disposition. God has a contract, if you please. Now watch this. When you talk about what God has for mankind, God has given man a contract, and man must uphold God's contract. God has given man a way to worship him. God has given man a way to follow him. Man must accept God's contract, or man will never please God. Now let me tell you something. This contract is not like most contracts that you find. You see, this contract is not like this. You agree and he agrees. It's not like that. This is God's contract, whether you agree with it or not. In other words, you know, a lot of times we talk about a covenant, and we say a covenant is an agreement between two parties. And we say that both parties must agree in order for the covenant to be binding. Well, that's called a bilateral covenant. But you see, God is not working with us on a bilateral covenant. God is working with us on a unilateral covenant. In other words, God said it. Whether you accept it or not, it's still binding. Did you hear what I just said? You see, a lot of folk want you to think Well, if you don't agree to it, it's not binding. Well, honey, if you don't agree to it, God is going to bring that same covenant and judge you by it. So the best thing to do is accept it. Isn't that right? So when God talks about DFAK, God is simply saying to us that I have a new, fresh, I have an age that's called my contract. And when you stop and look at New Testament Christianity, it started with Christ and it's going to last until Christ comes back. That's what God has given us. Watch this. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 6. And then we're going over to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 15. Because you need to see this contract that God has made. You need to see that New Testament Christianity is God's religion through Christ Jesus today. It's not the patriarchal religion. It's not the Mosaic or the Jews' religion. It's the religion of Christ. Christ has his own system of salvation. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, the Bible said,
Who also
hath made us able ministers
of the New Testament.
Now, what has he made us sufficient, capable, able ministers of?
The New Testament.
I'm telling you, we are under a New
Testament.
Age. Mm-hmm. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
We are under a new age. It's fresh because Christ brought it. It's new because Christ brought it. It's binding because Christ brought it. Now watch Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. Listen.
And
for what your Bible said.
And for this cause.
And for this cause.
He is the mediator.
He is the mediator.
Of the new.
Of the new.
Testament.
Testament.
That by means of death.
Not by means of death. For the redemption.
Of the transgressors.
Of the transgressors.
That were under
that
the first.
That were under the first.
Testament.
Testament.
They which
that
are
they
called,
which are called.
Might receive,
might
the,
receive
promise
the promise.
Of eternal of inheritance.
Of eternal inheritance. Now notice. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 3 and 6, we are able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit
giveth life.
Giveth life. Now notice, in Hebrews 9:15, he tells us that we are under the New
Testament.
Now, how many people will argue about all of these New Testament verses? The Bible makes it plain. The Bible says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God to purge your conscience from dead works? And for this call, what call? The call that Jesus shed his blood. And for this call, he is the mediator of the New
Testament.
What does that mean to us? Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I told you, New Testament Christianity started with Christ. What does that mean to us? Let me show you what that means to us as Christians. The Bible says,
Wherefore,
seeing we also are compassed
about
with so great a cloud of witnesses,
let us lay aside
every weight
and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience
the race that is set before us,
looking unto Jesus.
Unto Jesus.
The author. And finisher.
And finisher.
Of our faith.
Of our faith. Now wait a minute. We are looking unto Jesus.
Yeah.
Why? Because he is the author. That's the beginning of our faith. Not only is he the beginning of our faith, he is also the ending or the finish of our faith. Look at it again, verse number 2.
Looking unto Jesus,
the author
and finisher,
of
our faith.
Of our faith. Did you catch it? Mm-hmm. Not only did this thing start with Jesus, it's going to end with Jesus. Well, what about right now? You're talking about what started with Jesus and what's going to end with Jesus. What about right now? I'm glad you asked. Because when you look at the beginning and you look at the end, there's a space in the middle. In there space in the middle of the ending and the beginning?
Yeah.
Or the beginning and the ending? Yeah. Well, in 1 Timothy 2 and 5, the Bible fills the gap in the middle. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So what that tells me is this. In the middle of all of this, Jesus is there to see us through. Aren't you glad he's there? Or he's here to see us through? New Testament Christianity started with Christ and is going to end with Christ. That's why when you see this word Christianity, you see Christ. When you see this word Christianity, you see Christian. So what that means is this: every Christian belongs to Christ. That's all it is. In the Greek, the letters I-A-N simply means I belong to. So who do I belong to? I belong to Christ. So New Testament Christianity started with Christ. Well, if New Testament Christianity started with Christ, who should we look to in order to worship God like God wants us to worship him? We look to Christ. That's why Christ came to that woman at the well, to inform her on what worship ought to be. So when he got there, that woman says, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Oh, yes, he was. He was that same prophet that Moses talked about. Back there in Deuteronomy 18 and 15, you can put it in your notes. I won't go back there. I don't want to hold you all day. I want you back here tonight. Isn't that all right? Now let's work with this thing. Because you need to see what I'm trying to show you. All we have to do is just take out a little time. Develop what God wants us to develop. Don't put the preacher in a rush. Don't rush the preacher. Just let the preacher take his time so he can talk to you and teach you the word of God. That's what we are trying to do throughout this meeting, is teach people the word of God. Now, when we stop and look at this word, worship. You all got New Testament, right? You got that? So you understand that, right? So we are talking about a new age, a new covenant, a new contract for the new people of God. You all understand that, right? So I can move forward, right? So when I move forward, I want you to see this word, worship. God has this word. I'm just going to show you how the word is pronounced so that when you want to look it up, you can go look it up. And you don't have to say, "Well, now, how in the world did he come up with this?" Well, all you have to do is just look up some stuff. When you go look up this word worship in this text is proskuneo. And this word proskuneo, it simply means to kiss. Now, I want you to get this. It means to kiss. It's like a dog kissing his master's hand. Now, watch this. I'm going to show you something. Go over to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9. I'm going to show you something. Because what you see is this. Whenever you see a dog kissing his master's hand, that dog is really bowing down to his master. Are you all catching this? So the word literally means to kneel, to bow down, to prostrate oneself. It means to lay yourself out Are you all catching it? Now, he's not talking literal language when we worship in spirit and in truth, because the position, the physical posture does not matter. It's the bowing in the heart. It's the bowing in the mind. It's coming down in a low degree or a low estate to let God know that you are respecting him. You got it? God doesn't care if you pray on your knees or standing up. And I can go find all of these positions physically. God doesn't care if you like Hezekiah laying in your bed, Isaiah 38, with your face turned to the wall. God doesn't care. That has to do with physical posture. But he does care. Disposition of heart. He does care how your mind is when you come before him. Are you in Matthew 28 and verse 9?
And as they went.
As they went.
To tell his disciples.
To tell his disciples.
Behold, Jesus met
them
saying.
Behold, Jesus met them saying.
All hail.
All hail.
And they came.
And they came.
And held him by the feet.
And held him by.
The feet.
The feet.
And worshiped
and
him.
And worshiped.
Him.
Him. Now what did they do when they saw Jesus? After Jesus had resurrected from the dead. They came and held him by
the feet.
Now, how can a man standing up face to face hold Jesus by the feet? He can't do it. So what does he have to do in order to hold Jesus by the feet? He has to go down. And once he gets down, what does he do while he's down? So what God wants you to do in your heart is to go down. What God wants you to do in your mind is to go down. When you go down, God is ready to lift you up. But if you are already lifted up, God is ready to knock you down. You know how some of us are. Well, you know I'm Mr. So-and-so. Well, who is that? When it comes to God, you are nobody. God doesn't need us. We need him. And I think people need to understand when it comes down to approach Kaneo that God is saying you need to humble yourself. Jesus knows what it takes in order for man to worship God. Go to back to the Old Testament, Psalms 95 and verse number 6. I'm just going to work with this and take my seat in a few minutes. Because a lot of people in worship today, they don't have the right object of worship. They are not worshiping God. They are worshiping some man. They are worshiping themselves. Let's see what the Bible says. Psalms 95 and verse 6.
Oh, come.
Oh, come.
Let us worship.
Let us worship.
And bow down.
And bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord.
Let us kneel before the Lord. Our Maker. Did you catch it? They were to come, bow down, worship, and kneel before the Lord, their Maker. So, church, all I'm saying, when it comes down to New Testament worship, we need to come with humility of mind. We cannot be high-minded, haughty, heady, and expect to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, did you catch all of that? Can I move on now? You need to get it. What does man do when he comes to worship? He comes to pay homage by bowing down to God in his heart. And if you don't do that, you cannot worship God in spirit and in truth. That's the first thing you have to do. You have to come knowing that God alone is God, and God will not accept your worship until you bow down to him. That's why Pharaoh got in trouble. You remember him, don't you? He wouldn't bow. And any person who will not bow will get in trouble with the Lord. Now in New Testament, there are four kinds of worship in the New Testament. Now what we have to understand is this. All four are not pleasing to God. But there are at least four different kinds. And I'm going to share them with you. Because you need to understand that when you walk off into a church, and please hear me, I know the difference between the building and the people. So don't check me on that. I know the difference. The church that I'm talking about, according to Acts 11 and verse 22, has ears. You didn't catch it? Go get it, Brother Webb. I finally learned his name. Now, I want you to get this. I know the difference between the church, the people, and the church building that's owned by the people. Are you in Acts 11 and 22?
Yes.
The Bible says,
then tidings of these things,
that tidings of these things
came unto the ears,
came unto the ears
of the church.
That's enough, isn't it? Where did these tidings come? They came
unto the ears,
to the ears
of the church.
Of the church. Now, does this building have ears? So that's not the church he's talking about. The church he's talking about is the people. The people of God have ears. So we hear what God wants us to hear as the people of God. So when you go off into a church, when a church comes together, God has placed worship in the church for his people to do. Now, we need to find out what kind of worship are we to do. We know we are to worship, but the question here, what kind? Well, before I tell you what kind we ought to do, let me show you what kind we ought not to do. And I think putting the negative out here will help us with the positive. Did you catch it? If a person finds out what they ought not to do, at least they won't be sitting up in there ignorant. They may not do what they ought to do, but they know they ought not to do what they're doing. Did you all catch that? Anytime you go off into a church, if you learn the truth, one thing you know, and that is what you ought not to do. And the way you find out what you ought not to do is to find out what you ought to do. Well, how does that work? God has a law of inclusion and exclusion. So what God includes, everything else, he excludes. And when God excludes, you can't include. If God put it out, you leave it out. And if God put it in, you don't bring any other stuff in. You leave it like God left it. Now, you all ready for this? I have to walk through sermons. I'm honest about it. Because I want people to understand when they leave here what I'm preaching. I don't want you confused and saying, well, you know, our church is like the church of Christ. No. Let me help you. On February the 20th, that's Friday, 2009, I'm helping somebody. I'm going to get on a plane, and that airplane is going to ultimately take me back to Detroit, Michigan. And when I get to Detroit, Michigan, somebody is going to pick me up at the airport. And they are going to take me to my home. My home address is 37 South Midland Drive. And when I get to 37 South Midland Drive, I'm going to go up in that house and I'm going to look for a woman that I call Mrs. Anita. Now, when I get to this house, I don't want to see a look alike Mrs. Anita. I'm talking about when I get home. I don't want to see a woman that looks like Mrs. Anita. I want to see Mrs. Anita when I get home. Jesus is not coming back for a look-alike Church of Christ. Jesus is coming back for the same woman that he married. Just like when I go home, I don't want a look-alike wife. I want the wife. Did you catch it? You have to see this. If you don't see this, you're going to miss it. A lot of folk are talking, well, our church is like y'all's church. No, I don't want to be in a church that's like the Bible church. I want to be in the Bible church. How many women want to marry a man that looks like he's rich? That sounds good, doesn't it? He looks rich, honey. And you don't want to look alike rich man. I knew you'd get that one. Go over to Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 9. Let's find out what we should not do. Let's see how we should not worship. And then we'll show how we should worship. And what we should do when we worship. In Matthew chapter number 15 and verse 9.
But in vain.
But
in vain.
In vain.
They do worship
they
me.
They do worship me.
Teaching for doctrine.
Teaching for doctrines.
The commandments of men.
Now this word vain actually comes from this Greek word. And it's pronounced like this. A man tame. Now watch this. When he talks about man tame, when he talks about vain, he's telling you that vain worship is unworthiness. Unworthiness. When he talks about vain worship, he's saying that vain worship is worthlessness. He's saying that vain worship is to no end. He's saying that there is no purpose. Now you need to get this. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Anytime you do something in worship that comes from the teachings or doctrines of men is vain worship to God. Now, what are these preachers having you do? If they're having you to do something that's not according to the scripture, then that worship has no purpose. It has no value. It is empty. That's vain worship. Teaching for doctrine, the commandments of men. What are men telling you to do? If they tell you to do something in worship that you can't read in the Bible, that's vain. Some men are having folk praying to Mother Mary. That's vain. Some people are burning incense. That's vain. I'm telling you, vain worship is not pleasing in the sight of God. A lot of people are adding to using all of these mechanical instruments of music. And I'm just going to mention it tonight, but Monday night I'm going to preach the sermon. I'm just passing over right now because I want you to understand this thing fully. And 2 or 3 minutes just won't get it. I know what the Bible says when it comes down to worship. But I also know what it said when it comes down to vain worship. We cannot follow the doctrine and commandments of men. Then there's another kind of worship, and I want you to come with me. Acts chapter 17, verses 21 through 24. Actually, this kind of worship we are going to look at is called ignorant worship. And we need to get this ignorant worship. Go over to the book of Acts, chapter 17, beginning with verse number 21, because I want you to see what the Lord is saying. This word, ignorant. Now, this word comes from a Greek word, and we're going to see something interesting with this word. Because what I see with this word is going to give us a word that all of us know about. I'm going to show you what it is. This word is idiotes. Now I want you to watch idiotes, because when you see this word ignorant, when it comes from this word idiotes, are you in Acts chapter 17? Watch verses 21 through 24. I'll get with it. Watch this. Read the Bible.
For all the Athenians,
and
strangers, which were there, spent their
time
in nothing else,
but either, to tell
or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the
midst of Mars Hill
and said,
"Ye men of Athens,
I perceive that
In all things
ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by, and beheld, your devotion, I found an altar, with this inscription." To the unknown God. Whom therefore,
Ye
ignorantly, worship. Him I declare unto you.
Now wait a minute. How were they worshiping?
Ignorantly.
They were worshiping ignorantly. Now let me show you how ignorant worship plays. Ignorant worship says, number one, you don't know the object of your worship. God is the object. He's the one that you must worship. And the reason Paul called that ignorant worship is because they worship idols after idol. They didn't know the God they were to worship. And then that's in verse number 16. Read verse 16 of Acts 17. It's in verse 16.
Now while Paul,
waited
for them in Athens. His
spirit,
was
stirred in him
when he saw, the city holy,
given to idolatry. Now, what did he see the city? Holy given to idolatry. In other words, when Paul saw that false religion all over the place, he was stirred up on the inside. And every Christian, when you see idolatry, it ought to stir you up too, to do something about it. Now watch this. You've heard people say, call a person an ignoramus. Now I want you to get what I'm trying to get you to see. When you see it, you're going to say, oh, I got it. A person that you call an ignoramus, number one, is a private person. Now watch this. Now you need to see it. He's private because he's unlearned. He's private because he's rude. And what it does is this. This word, idiotes, gives us the English word for idiot. You call a person an idiot? You've heard of that, haven't you? Well, Paul is saying all of you all are idiots. Why were they idiots? Because they were ignoramus. Why were they ignoramus? Because they were ignorant. Why were they ignorant? Because they didn't know the one true God. Did you catch it? All of us are ignorant if we don't know God. Now, what's the opposite of ignorant? Isn't that right? The opposite of ignorance is what? Now, who knows? Let me ask again. Now who knows? Listen. Who knows? That's what I want to know. That's the question. Do you know who knows? I know who knows. The God that we serve knows. He's all knowledgeable. He has all knowledge. He has foreknowledge. He has past knowledge. He has present knowledge. Do you know who knows? If you don't know God, guess what? I know people don't like to be called ignorant. Those are fighting words in Mississippi. But these are Bible words in Jamaica. We have to know God. And if we don't know God, we will worship idols. And when we worship idols, we are ignorant. And when we are ignorant, we are ignoramus. And when we are ignoramus, we are idiots. And I know people don't like that kind of preaching. That's kind of tough, isn't it? But I just can't believe he's up in here calling us ignorant. Wait a minute. I remember when I was ignorant about who God is. I didn't know him either. But now let me tell you something. In Psalm 19 and verse 1, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmaments his handiwork. Now I want you to get this. To know God exists, we can tell it by the heavens. Behind every design is a designer. Let's say a lady. See, ladies love pretty dresses. Let's say a lady found a dress walking down the street and just found a dress. Looked at it and said, oh, this is a pretty dress. This dress just appeared. Nobody put it here. It just appeared. Just a dress. Honey, dresses, pretty dresses, just don't appear when you walk down the street. Behind that dress is a dressmaker. That dress didn't just fall out the sky. Somebody was behind it. Somebody made it. Somebody left it there. You don't get to know the dressmaker because you have the dress on. Now come on now, talk back to me. You know a dressmaker exists. A lot of women wearing dresses. You all know the dressmakers. You know the people who made your dresses. But now you do have enough knowledge to know that a dressmaker exists. Right? Well, that's how it is when it comes to God and the heavens declaring the handiwork of God. We know that some maker made the heavens. Now, to get to know him personally, like you get to know a dressmaker personally, you must seek out the dressmaker. Isn't that right? Well, to get to know God, you must seek him out, and the person that you seek him out through is Jesus Christ. So if you don't come to know Jesus, you'll never get to know God. Why do you think Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can put this in your notes and read it in your spare time. Matthew 11 verses 25 through 27. Jesus said, as the Son, he came to reveal the Father. And no man knoweth the Son, and no man knoweth the Father, save he whom the Son shall reveal him. That's in your Bible. So ignorant worship won't work. Vain worship won't work. Well, let's go over to Colossians chapter 2. There's another kind of worship. This kind of worship is called will worship. Did you catch it? It's called what? Will worship. Now this word, and this is a long word here. That's all right. You all just stay with me. I get through this. Okay? Now this word will worship. Actually, you have to break it down, and I'm going to try to break it down. It's ethalothrasia. Ethalothrasia. Ethalothrasia has a meaning that I think you need to see. It means voluntarily, unwarranted pity. Now watch how he reads it, and then I'll work on what it means. In Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 20.
Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ,
ye being dead with Christ,
from the rudiments of the world,
why, as though living in the world, ye are subject to ordinances,
touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men,
Which thing we have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. Now wait. When it comes down to will worship, you just don't up and voluntarily bow down to something or someone just to be worshiping. A lot of us show pity or piety. A lot of us feel like we are sanctimonious. But you have to be careful what you worship. And you have to be careful who you worship. Will worship in this context has to do with the worshiping of angels. Go back to verse 18. It's in there. Watch this.
Let no man beguile you
of your reward
in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels,
intruding into those things
which he has not seen,
vainly puffed up
by his fleshly mind.
In other words, a whole lot of folk are intruding into stuff that they have not seen, and it's all because of their fleshly mind. Did you catch it? God does not want you worshiping angels. Go to Revelation 22, 8 and 9. The Bible is right. You know, angel mania, what they call it now. People are running around, got angel pins on. You better be careful with some of this stuff. Because if you're not careful, you're going to find yourself bowing down to something that God doesn't want you to bow down to. Are you in Revelation 22, 8 and 9? I'm almost finished.
And I, John.
I, John.
Saw these things and
saw
heard
them.
When I had heard and seen.
I fell down.
To worship before the feet of the angel.
Which showed me these things. Now, wait a minute. Where are you, John? I'm bowing down. I'm down before the feet of an angel. Well, listen to what the angel said.
Then saith he unto me.
He said unto me.
See thou do it not.
See thou do it not. Why?
For I am thy fellow servant.
You don't worship me because I'm a servant to God as well. You do know angels are servants, don't you? They are ministering, serving spirits. So we don't worship angels. So I don't have to tell you don't worship a man. Cornelius tried it with Peter. Peter told him, get up Acts 10, 25 and 26. You don't have to go get it. The Bible is right. So when you see vain worship, God doesn't want it. When you see ignorant worship, God doesn't want it. And when you see will worship, God doesn't want it. Well, what kind of worship does he want? What did Jesus tell the woman at the well? Go back to John 4, 23 and 24. I'm going to close. I said, I'm going to close. The Bible says,
verse 23, but the hour cometh, and
now is,
when the true worshiper,
what kind of worshiper?
The true worshiper.
It's not enough just to be a worshiper. I said it's not enough just to be a worshiper. Mm-hmm. If it's enough to be a worshiper, you can be a vain worshiper. Mm-hmm. If it's just enough to be a worshiper, you can be an ignorant worshiper. If it's enough to be a worshiper, you can be a will worshiper. But it's not enough just to be a worshiper. The Bible said, but the true
worshipers
shall worship the Father. Worship
the Father
in spirit
and in truth.
And in truth.
For the Father.
Wait a minute. I just thought I'd tell you, when it comes down to worshiping God in spirit and in truth, first of all, your spirit must be in harmony with his spirit. Your spirit must be in connection with his spirit. That's why he gives us the Holy Spirit at baptism, so that he could identify with us as his child. And then we must have a sincere attitude and a sincere spirit when we come to worship our God. And when I look at my spirit being in harmony with God's spirit, then I have to see what God has said, because I must worship him not just in spirit, not just sincerely, not just with the right attitude, not just in the spirit. I must worship him in spirit
and in truth.
You see, truth comes into play. And whatever God says, that's what I must do. Well, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 4. Before I close, I want to show you what people are saying today. I'm going to use this as an illustration, because the Bible says in John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In other words, I need to worship God according to his word. Whatever God says, that's what I must do. Well, let me tell you what I'm hearing out of people today. I'm hearing people say, well, you know, honey, we are all worshiping of the same God. Isn't that what you hear? They say we are all worshiping the same God. But what I want to show you is this. We may be all worshiping the same God, but we are not all worshiping the same God the same way. We must all worship the same God the same way. You can't worship the same God in a different way, and I worship the same God in another way. We must all worship the same God the same way. And if you don't worship him the same way, then we are not really worshiping the same God. You see, the same God told us to worship him the same way. And I know I'm right about it. Just hold Genesis, because in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible said, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Am I correct about it? We must all walk by the same rule. Well, the same God told us to walk by the same rule, and we must all worship the same God the same way. Am I correct about it? Well, in Genesis chapter 4, I want to give you two boys, and both of these boys worship the same God. But the problem was, they didn't both worship the same God the same way. And the way the one boy worshiped God was pleased with him. And the way the other boy worshiped, God was not pleased with him. But they both worship. Are you in Genesis 4 and 3? I'm trying to close.
And
in the process of time,
it came to pass that Cain brought that of Cain the fruit brought of the ground an offering unto
an
the Lord.
Offering
unto the Lord.
Now who did he bring the offering to?
Unto the Lord.
He brought it to the Lord. Isn't that the God they ought to serve?
Yes, sir.
Read the book.
And Abel.
Abel. He
also brought of
the
first.
He also brought.
Of the firstlings of his
flock. The firstling of his flock. Wait a minute. You see that word also? Did you see also? Also means whatever Cain brought and whoever Cain brought it to. Abel brought it to. Cain brought his offering to the Lord. And Abel also. Well, stop right there. What does that mean, Abel also? Abel also brought his offering.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
To the Lord.
Yeah.
They both came to the same Lord. Yes, now, were they worshiping the same God?
Yes.
Yes, they were. But let's see how God had respect to one and not respect for the other.
And the Lord had respect unto
had
Abel.
Respect unto Abel
and to his,
and
offering.
To his offering.
But unto Cain.
Holy. Why did the Lord have respect unto Abel and his offering? Because Abel brought to the Lord what the Lord told him to bring. So when you come to worship, guess what? You must come to do what God told you to do. Not what men say. But what's Cain?
But unto Cain.
That's a contrast. But.
Unto Cain.
That tells me something is different. But.
But unto Cain and to his offering.
Holy man, but whenever you read something and the next word says, but,
that's
a problem.
Yeah.
Did you catch it? Naaman was a mighty man with his master, but. 17:5:1, he was a leper. Did you catch it? But Cain.
But unto Cain and to his
offering. Unto Cain and to his offering.
He had not respect. And Cain was very wroth.
Wait a minute. Cain getting mad. Like a lot of people in religion today. When we point out to them what God said, they get mad. What are you getting mad for? Change what you're doing and let God be pleased with you. You don't have to get mad because we tell you what God says in worship. Cain didn't have to get mad. Cain should have told Abel, look man, I'm a keeper of this and you are a keeper of that. God told us to bring that and I have this. So why don't you give me some of that? And I'll give you some of this. But now let us not offer this, but let us offer that. Y'all, oh Lord, come on. I know you got that. God wanted a blood offering. That's why he was pleased with Abel, because he brought of the flock. Cain brought something totally different. And God rejected it. And then watch this. I want you to see this. I'm serious. I'm trying to quit. Watch this. Listen to what the Lord said to Cain.
If thou doest well.
If thou doest well.
Shall thou not be accepted?
I know it. Cain, if you do well, don't you know I'll accept you?
And if thou doest not well.
If you do not well.
Sin like.
Sin. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Somebody needs to say it. When you don't do what God said, like God said it, it's sin. I told you a lot of people are still where they are religiously because they don't know what sin is. If you are in a church that's not in the Bible, that's sin. You need to come out. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come ye out from among them, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We have to tell people they need to come out of denominationalism. They need to come out of Catholicism. They need to come out of Protestantism. They need to come out of these world religions and get into Christ, into Christianity. What did he tell Cain? Now listen, if you had done well, you would have been accepted. If not, then sin lieth at the door.
And unto thee shall be his desire.
Now, wait a minute. Now, I'm not going to go through the rest of this because let me tell you something. Sometimes sin will get so engulfed in a person, he'll make them kill the folk that's doing right. So I want to get back home to Mrs. Anita, so I don't want you all trying to stone me over here. Cain got so upset with Abel, he took him out in the field and killed him. When Saul the apostle was persecuting the church, he held the garments of those that stoned Stephen. I'm telling you, when people don't like what you say, when it comes to God's word, they want to kill you. Well, if I'm going to be taken out, let me be taken out doing what I love, and that's preaching for God. Isn't that all right? If I'm going to die, let me die for the Lord. Because I believe the Bible is right. What kind of worship must we do? Worship in spirit and in truth. Anything else, God is not pleased with. I hear people all the time, well, I don't know what to do. Do what he said. Well, I'm confused. Go to the scripture and you'll get out of that confusion. See, you may not know what something is, but you can know what it was not. Did you catch it? No, watch this. If somebody walked by that window and they asked you, who is that? You say, I don't know who that is. And then they ask you, well, do you know who is not? I can say, well, it wasn't Brother Mitchell. It was not Brother Mitchell. Well, how do you know? He's sitting right here. I may not know who it is, but I know who is not. Now, let me tell you something. When it comes down to what God said, I may not know all that people think or ought to know, but I know one thing. God put the church that he built in the Bible. I may not know what's not in the Bible, but I know what's in here. Now, I don't want to be in a church that's not in the Bible. I want to read the church that I'm in the Bible. Now, watch this. Somebody say, well, how you know? The Catholic Church is not the church. How do you know the Methodist Church is not the church? I may not know what is not, but I tell you what it is. Well, how do you know the Baptist Church is not the church? I'll tell you why. Because the church that Jesus built, he put it in the Bible.
When Paul said in Romans 16 and verse 16, salute one another with the holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. He just told me what the church is. Somebody say, well, you mean to tell me it's not this, it's not that, it's not. Honey, he just told you what it is. So why can't we just accept what it is and quit worrying about what it's not? People are arguing over more what the Bible did not say than over what it said. And people are, well, it didn't say I can't be a Catholic. It didn't say I can't be a Methodist. It didn't say I can't. Well, he told you what to be. So why would he tell you what not to be when he told you what to be? Somebody said, well, it said churches of Christ. I'm glad. Yesterday, Brother Mitchell took Brother King and I to the country market. And you know what he bought us? Oranges. Did you catch it? I put an S on, it, a whole lot of them. Now, do you think at any point in time, when I start eating those oranges, all of a sudden I'm going to say, man, this watermelon here is surely good. Do you think one of those oranges will turn into a banana? Do you? Well, it was an orange. It's a whole lot of them. But it's the same one fruit. Jesus built the church of Christ. Told his disciples, apostles, go preach it, take it to every city, every place, every nation in the world. And everywhere they went, they planted the church of Christ in that place. And not one time did a church of Christ turn into a Catholic church. Not one time did a church of Christ turn into a Methodist church or a Baptist church. They were all churches of Christ. And yet people still talking about, well, you know, our church is like. No, remember, we don't want to look alike, church. I'm finished. You're here today, you need to become a Christian. New Testament Christianity is where you need to be. That's what you need to embrace. You've heard the word, John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophet, they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. So that tells me you have to hear and learn before you can come. And you can't hear wrong, learn wrong, and come right. You must hear right, learn right, in order to come right. Now, how do you come right? By believing what you've heard right. By repenting of your sins right. By confessing Jesus right. And by being baptized right. Isn't that good? You want to be baptized today to be a Christian? Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Do you want to be baptized today? Now is your time. Song leader is ready. Church is ready. We want New Testament worship. Let's do it God's way. We're standing. We're standing. He's calling somebody. Ought to say yes to Jesus.
Song number 90. Let us stand.